In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, it instruct the hearts of your faithful by light of the Holy Spirit. Grant it by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lady Fatima.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray
for us. Father and Terry.
Pray for us.
Saint Ignatius.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Blessed Francisco.
Pray for us.
Blessed Jacinta.
In
the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good morning. I'd like to tell three short stories related to my topic. First, there was a very high-class businessman that worked on Wall Street in New York City. And he had many, many gifts. However, his biggest defect was he would never get rid of the documents that he had. So he had accumulated documents for 30 years. This was about 30 years before the computer, the electronics world had taken over. And every time he'd get a new secretary, the secretary would say, "Boss, you got to get rid of those documents." So one day he had a big smile on his face. He said, "Okay, get rid of all the documents. But before you do it, make sure you make a photocopy of each one." Second story. How many people here pray? How many people here struggle with their prayer life? The story of a monk who lived close to 1,000 years ago, and he was talking about prayer, and he was on his horse. And one of his friends, who was a good man, deep prayer life, they're talking about prayer. And the man on the horseback was Saint Bernard. And he told his friend, he said, "You know, I've got struggles in my prayer life, Saint Bernard. And one of my problems is sometimes I have distractions." And his friend said, "I never have distractions." Never. No, I was a born mystic. So Saint Bernard said, "Okay, if you can pray just the Our Father without a distraction, I'll give you my horse." Man said, "I always wanted a horse. I'll have a horse now." So the man kneels down, and he makes the sign of the cross, and it says, "In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be the name. Will you give me the saddle also with the horse?" The last one I've stolen from my favorite, Fulton Sheen. Fulton Sheen was probably the greatest storyteller in the last century. Possibly the greatest in the world. He would often start off his talks with three humorous anecdotes. So this one took place in New York City. On the, do you know what the word mezzanine means? It's a New York word, which would be the ground level of a hotel. Any of you ever been to New York? You know those skyscrapers up there? So there was a hotel that had 50 floors. But that night, the elevator didn't work. So this is the story of the story of the three drunks in the mezzanine. Have you heard this one? Well, I'll tell it to you. Owner of the hotel said, okay, you're three drunks, okay, we'll give you boarding tonight. So they had to walk up the 50 flights. So to make it easy, the leader of the three says, okay, the first 25, I'll tell interesting stories. The next 25, you'll tell jokes. And the last 25 was a man who was very melancholic. He'll tell a sad story. So they're walking 25 stories, and the first guy was telling this anecdote and this anecdote and this story and this adventure, and they're all pretty entertained. So they arrived at the 25th floor, and the other one started to tell jokes and jokes and jokes and jokes, and they were laughing. They arrived at the 5th floor, and then the melancholic, and now it's your turn. So they're going up and up and up and up and up and up, and they finally arrived at the top, and he wouldn't open up his mouth. He said, you have to tell us a sad story. He said, you want to know it? I forgot the key. That's not Father Rome, that's Fulton Sheen. Okay, my talk is going to be based on Fatima, but given that Fatima is so extensive, I'd like to talk a little bit about Mary in general, the Oblates, and then just one aspect of Fatima. Okay, first of all, today, all of you should be filled with joy. And not just joy, but as they say in Spanish, intensísimo gozo. Okay? You should be filled with the most intense joy today. Most intense joy, because this is one of the most important days in the church year. Right in the middle of Lent. And maybe you haven't meditated upon the impact of what we celebrate today. Today, we recall one of the most important moments in the history of salvation. When, about 2,000 years ago, a little bit more, a young virgin was visited by an archangel. The archangel's name was Gabriel. The archangel asked this young virgin if she would open up her mind, her heart, her soul, her womb to the Son, the living God. She asked, how can this happen? I do not know man, because she made a vow of virginity. And the angel said, it would come about by means of the Holy Spirit. And reflecting upon this, she gave her free consent and said, I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word. In that moment, what happened was all heaven rejoiced. And as Saint Bernard and the saints point out, in that moment, all the angels in heaven with the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, were looking down upon Mary to see what she was going to do. With her, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be done to me according to thy word. There was an explosion of joy in heaven. And Jesus Christ, with the presence of the Holy Spirit, came down. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, the Shekinah. And Mary conceived Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That was the most important moment in the history of the world. Because in that moment, Mary conceived Jesus Christ. That is March 25th, where we celebrate. And if you count 9 months, it's count nine months from today, it's December 25th, right? A woman has a baby within a womb, usually 9 months. So Mary's yes was fundamental for the salvation of the whole world. By Mary saying yes, my friends, we can be saved. Amen. By Mary opening up her mind, her heart, her womb to the Son of God, she was indirectly collaborating in opening up the gates of heaven. You see how important that was. Otherwise, my friends, none of us would be going to heaven. None of us. So we have to be so grateful to the Blessed Mother today. All of you should enter into a huge Marian colloquy and just thank Mary for saying yes. Because of her yes, God sent His Son into the world so that all of us can be saved, and we will be saved through God's grace and through Mary's prayers. So sometime today, in the silence of your heart, spend some time thanking Mary. Thanking Mary for saying yes. Her yes means that one day the gates of heaven are there already open, waiting for us to enter, and Mary will be our queen, our mother, our life, our sweetness, and our hope for all eternity. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Today is a day dedicated to Marian spirituality, and specifically oblate Marian spirituality. So I'll say a word on that, and then I'll focus on Fatima. Every religious founder has some type of devotion to Mary. But they're all different. They're all different. If we take St. Augustine, it's Our Lady of Good Counsel. We take St. Teresa of Avila, it's Our Lady of Mount Carmel. You take St. Alphonse Liguori, Filipinos, are you ready? Our Lady of Perpetual Help. If you take someone like Colby, it's the Immaculata. Take St. Louis de Montfort, Our Lady Queen of All Hearts. Take someone like John Bosco, Our Lady Help of Christians. Okay, so all those great saints, they all had great love for Mary. That means If you want to become a saint, you have to love Mary. Amen?
Amen.
No way around it. The more you love Mary, the more you're going to love Christ. The more you love Christ, the more you're going to love God the Father. Now, our oblate spirituality is a little bit different. My founder had great love for Mary. He lost his mother when he was a small child. As a subdeacon, he consecrated himself to Mary as a slave of Mary, very much like Colby. To found our congregation, as you saw, was very difficult, living a very difficult time. Upon the foundation, he would say, I'm really not the founder, it's Mary the foundress. Every homily he'd say, okay, end with Mary. Saturdays, read something in honor of Mary. When he dies, Blessed Mother comes, places the child Jesus on him, and he has an encounter with Mary. But one of the hallmarks of oblate Marian spirituality, and I think it's very opportune for what we're going through today, is that Mary, this is the oblates now, Mary is the conqueror of all heresies. Isn't that important today? That's the oblates. Now there's no other founder that really specifies that explicitly. But my founder, when there's a heresy that rises up in the world, it's through the heel of Mary that that infernal heretic is crushed. And any of you have ever studied church history, you see these heresies rise up, then people have recourse to Mary and the heresy is crushed. So that's just a note on our Marian spirituality. And we're oblates. Our titular feast day is September 12th. Oblate comes from Latin oblatio, which means a total offering of Jesus to Mary. So we don't belong to ourselves, we belong to Mary. I love it. But you're coming to an oblate parish, so all of you have to be oblates too. Amen? All of you have to be a gift to God through the hands of Mary. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, my fundamental focus, and then afterward we have three handouts of three articles that I've written over the past 3 months, published in Catholic Exchange. And they'll have the handouts so you can read them in your free time. Is Fatima is so extensive that it's like a beautiful diamond in which you expose to the sun, and you have a process in physics called refraction, where the light of the sun goes through and a rainbow of light emanates. I see Fatima in that fashion. So what I like to focus on is Jacinta. Okay? Just Jacinta. Jacinta Marto. Okay, Fatima. Fatima is a town in Portugal. 1916. Jacinta, Francisco, brother and sister, with their cousin Lucia, are tending their sheep, and they have an apparition of an angel. This happens three times. The third apparition is one of the most extraordinary apparitions in approved private revelation. was the children see the angel, and suspended in the air you have a host and you have a chalice. The angel tells the three children to console their God who has been offended so much. So Jacinta and Francisco take from the chalice Lucia, the host. Very important to understand that, to understand the overall message of Fatima, because it's a very Eucharistic, it's a very Eucharistic encounter. 1917, children are still tending the sheep in the same place. This time, they have an encounter with the Blessed Virgin Mary. And she appears, year 1917, and she appears the 13th of May, all the way to the 13th of October. The only month she does not appear on the 13th is in August, because the children are in jail by the civil authorities. So she appears about a week later to the children. But I'd like to focus on one of the apparitions and what happened as a result of this apparition. So she appears in May, then June 13th, the feast day of St. Anthony, which is the patron saint of the Portuguese, St. Anthony of Padua. Then she appears on July 13th, but it's one of the most extraordinary apparitions in the history of private revelation. So Mary opens up her hands, and the earth opens up. These children have a graphic vision of hell. And it looks like this. A sea of fire. You can see these like leaves descending, falling into the fire. And they see these images that are transparent, brown, bronze, gold, darker color, pitch black. And these are the souls of those who are lost. And they're floating without any equilibrium. Try to imagine a helium balloon that you buy at a park when you're a little kid. It's being blown right and left by the wind. And then they were able to see these souls, and some of them had these hideous animals that were transpiercing them. Hideous animals that they'd never seen before. These hideous animals were actually the devils that were tormenting Jacinta. Francisco and Lucia were watching this. And it didn't go on a long time, but it was enough to leave an indelible impression of these children for the rest of their lives. And they said later that if it were not for the presence of the Blessed Virgin Mary, they would have died of fear. Now the very interesting thing about this is that Mary, who's our life, our sweetness, our hope, our mother, she's kind, loving, compassionate, merciful. You think that Mary, with all those beautiful attributes, beautiful feminine attributes, wouldn't bring that up, you would think. But she did. Why? Is because she loves us so much. Mary showed that because she loves us so much. Loves us so much. Her love is so great that she showed this graphic vision of hell. Later on, Jacinta had an informal spiritual director, and that was her older cousin Lucia. And they would talk a lot. And one thing that Jacinta would ask Lucia over and over again after this, she would say, "But Lucia, after a certain amount of time, you know, that vision of those souls in hell, it's going to be over, right?" Lucia said, "No. No, but after 100 years, it's going to be over. No. After 1,000 years? No. You mean after 1,000 years? No. But some time it's going to be over. No, it's going to be forever and ever and ever and ever." I think it's important for us to spend some time meditating upon eternity. Of all the sufferings in hell, I would think that that would be one of the biggest among the others. Because we suffer and then we get over it. We got doctors, we got pills, we got operations, we got all these things to alleviate pain. So let's go back to Jacinta. Some modern liberal catechetical programs insist on not talking to children about hell, because that could traumatize the children. Then have to go to some child psychiatrist to cope through the trauma, no? Now, after Jacinta had this vision, did she start to visit psychiatrists? Did she have a trauma? No, after this happened, Jacinta was converted. Now I'm going to say now, I'm going to go through the sacrifices that she went through. Hey, don't forget, this is a little girl. She's about 9 years old. No formal education. She's a little shepherd. She's got a couple little friends. Very simple, uneducated little girl. She had not read the mystical writings of St. John the Cross yet. She had not read The Way of Perfection yet, or Teresa of Avila. She hadn't read the writings of John Paul II either, because they weren't written yet, okay? We're going to see this girl is going to skyrocket in holiness. And God is going to take her to heaven in a very short time. The purpose of her radical change and her sacrifices. Were basically these. Her love for God. I've said this many times in the spiritual exercises when I'm giving the contemplation of the call of the King. If you love God, you should love what God loves. Any lover should ask what the beloved loves, right? Anyone that's in love with someone wants to please the lover by giving the lover what the lover wants. Isn't that true? Our lover is God. Our lover is God. God is madly in love with all your people. Mary is madly in love with all your people. But you know that love has to be, love is a two-way street. It's not a dead end. It's a two-way street. The lover and the beloved have to correspond by the mutual gift of self, giving constantly. Giving and receiving. Of everything on planet Earth, that which God loves most in this created world is the human soul and the salvation of the human soul. Your soul is worth more than the whole created universe. St. Thomas Aquinas, your soul is worth more than the whole created universe. St. Peter says, you are not redeemed by the blood of calves, or goats, or heifers. Nor were you redeemed or saved or bought back. That's what redeem means, to buy back. By silver or gold, but by the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So Jacinta loved God. And one of the primary reasons was because she loved what God loves and will always love. And it's the salvation of souls. So all these sacrifices that this little girl is going to do for one reason. To save immortal souls. And as I say this, I'm going to ask all of you to pray over it and read my writings. The whole thrust is to try to get you people to love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. That's the purpose of this talk. Not to love God sometimes, 50%, partially, but to love God totally, unreservedly. This means if you love God, what you should be saying in your prayer every day is, Lord, God, I love you. How can I today work to save souls? That should be one of your prayers every day. That is the call of the King. The King wants to conquer the whole world to himself. Conquering not a physical kingdom, but conquering the souls, especially of sinners. Okay, here are some of the sacrifices. Now we have to challenge ourselves. What are some sacrifices that we are called to make as we enter into the second part of Lent? And hopefully these sacrifices we undertake after we finish Lent, we'll carry through with him anyway. And be aware of this. The smallest sacrifice you do with love can save a soul and maybe many souls. So the salvation of the world, my friends, depends a lot upon you people right now in St. Peter Chanel, taking this to heart. Jesus said to St. Faustina, how do we know that someone loves? Love is measured by the willingness to suffer and sacrifice for the loved one. You want to see really what love is? Look up at the cross. Every day of Lent, we should spend some time contemplating the cross. No greater love than that. What did he do? He sacrificed himself, even every drop of his precious blood, for the salvation of the whole world, but for salvation of all of us individually also. Universal salvation, but individual persons were saved by the blood of Christ, as if you were the only person in the world. Okay, the first sacrifice of Jacinta. Jacinta was very different than Francisco. Using psychological terminology, Francisco would be called an introvert. Jacinta would be called an extrovert. Okay? Jacinta loved dancing. She loved it. But it wouldn't be in these sleazy cantinas in L.A. Not that type of dancing. No, innocent dancing of a little girl with her friends. She loved it. Nothing wrong with that. But she gave it up. Why? For the salvation of souls, for her love of God. I'll give up that dance so that God can use my suffering to save as many souls as he wants. So all of us right now have to start at least by not dancing with the devil, okay? Temptations, reject them right away. Every temptation you have, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, to expel that temptation. Second sacrifice. Any people here like to eat? You can already hear your stomachs growling and kind of reading your mind. Hopefully Father Broom won't go overboard in his preaching. I've given many talks in my life, and sometimes people will bring back, lift up a card, 10 minutes, Father. She gave up her favorite food. You think about your favorite food. Okay, starting on Monday, no more. That'd be hard. We all have our favorites, huh? Like I was telling the priest the other day, when we're having lunch, you know, for Lent, I'm going to give up two things. Whiskey and vodka. You know, I don't even know what whiskey and vodka is. So she gave up grapes, those sweet grapes of the Portuguese hillsides. She really loved those grapes. Why? For the salvation of souls and to show her great love for God. And we're giving up something like that, that will give us greater hunger for Jesus, the bread of life. And greater thirst for the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Third sacrifice. And you're going to see, everything I'm mentioning in the modern world would be in reparation for the sins of the present world. Dancing in reparation for lewd dancing, which is so common today, right? Giving up those grapes in reparation for gluttony. To the next. She decided with her brother, just Francisco, and her cousin, Lucia, to impose upon herself some physical suffering. You know what it was? She decided that she would wear a rope around her waist. Some of me might think, well, big deal. Okay, big deal. Try it, huh? Try it. A rope right around their waist, which would be rubbing against their waist and causing discomfort the whole day. These are little children, they haven't read John the Cross yet. But at night to take it off. Mary said, no, you have to sleep at night. Well, we might say that that could be in reparation for immodest dressing. Or the sins of the flesh. And Our Lady Fatima is going to say that the primary reason why souls are lost for all eternity are because of the sins of the flesh. Against the sixth and ninth commandment. It was a problem 100 years ago. But today, it's 100 times worse. And one of the reasons is because of the abuse of the electronics media. So hopefully you're going to be applying Jacinta in this presentation to what's going on today. And maybe we can make a proposal that we will always, and I say always, dress modestly. Recognizing that we are temples. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. We're temples of the Blessed Trinity once we're baptized. And St. Paul says, remember that you are ambassadors of Christ. You're representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're representing the Creator of the universe. We have to be dignified, huh? Next, The children, upon entering into the fields, heading toward the place where they pasture the sheep, would meet children along the way that were poorer than they were. Not that they were poor, they had a very modest, simple, frugal lifestyle, but they met children that were really poor, and they gave their lunches to these poor children. Gave their lunches. How can we apply this to our lives? What did Mother Teresa say? We have to learn to give until it hurts. Can we honestly say that we are giving until it hurts? Probably not. The American lifestyle is pretty darn comfortable, huh? These children, what a brilliant example for us who live in a very affluent, comfortable, rich, and if I can use the word, kind of lazy, setback lifestyle. What else? Fifth sacrifice. It's recorded that once they were out tending the sheep in the middle of the summer, and they were dying of thirst. So Lucia runs to a neighboring house, knocks on the door, and asks for some cold water. The lady in the house gives Lucia a pitcher. She runs back to Jacinta and Francisco and says, "Look, we got some water." You know what the two little ones said? "Pour it on the ground." Why? Because they loved God. And love what God loves. What does God love? He loves the salvation of souls. Jesus on the cross said, "I thirst." Last Sunday's gospel, Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, "Give me to drink." The charism of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, to slake the thirst of Jesus Christ. All the convents of Mother Teresa have a cross on the wall, and on the top of the cross, "I thirst." St. Augustine, quoted in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, says, "Jesus hungers that you hunger for him. Jesus thirsts that you thirst for him." That's why we're here in this retreat, that we will leave this retreat with a real hunger for God, a real thirst for God, in imitation of Mary and her yes that we celebrate today. Mary hungered to do the will of God more than anything else in the whole world. We have to pray for that same hunger and thirst. Other sacrifices. Jacinta was complaining on that hot day, and she had a headache. Francisco said, "Hey, stop complaining. Offer up your headache." She said, "Oh, I forgot about that." So she offered up her headache for love of God and for the salvation of immortal souls. Do you ever have a headache? Have you had headaches? Do you complain? Because our suffering can either make us better or bitter. Either better or bitter. If we complain, it makes us bitter. If we accept it, it makes us better. And it makes us more holy. And who knows, every time you have that headache, you offer to Jesus Christ with his crown of thorns that he suffered, that we see as we look up at the cross. How many souls can be saved by you and me learning to offer up our sufferings? My friends, one of the biggest tragedies in the lives of good people like yourselves and myself is that we waste our suffering. We all have to suffer. We all have to suffer. And suffering in and of itself is neutral. It's neither good nor bad. It all depends on what we do with our suffering. So a lady is telling these children of Fatima that what they can offer for the salvation of souls, offer their whole life as a sacrifice to God for the salvation of souls. Eighth sacrifice. After the apparition started, these children were bombarded with interminable questions. They were pestered by questions. Have you ever been pestered by people? Or just riveting you with questions? Or asking you this or that? Well, who knows? Maybe God sent that person to you as a sacrifice by means of which you can save souls. Never thought of that way, huh? Everything that happens in our life, we can offer to God as a sacrifice to show our love for God. And for the salvation of souls. Two more sacrifices. Another sacrifice was this. Before a lady appeared, the parents of the children said, look, you have to pray the rosary every day. So they go off to the fields. And Lucia was ready, said, okay, let's pray the rosary. Ready? One, two, three. Our Father, Hail Mary, 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 glory. Our Father, Hail Mary, 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 glory. Our Father, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. Our Father. Let's hear you. Glory. Our Father. Okay, let's go off and play now, okay? That's how they would pray the rosary. Yeah, that's how they pray the rosary. And the parents have asked you, did you say the rosary? Yes, we said the rosary. Now, after that happened, after the vision of hell, these children would say not only the whole rosary, but they would say many rosaries, as many rosaries as they possibly could. They couldn't say enough rosaries. And when they'd be praying the rosary, Jacinta, Francisca, and Lucia, but especially Jacinta, prayed it for love of God and for the salvation of immortal souls. They could not pray enough rosaries. A private practice that I have is, yesterday I think I said three or four rosaries a day. Almost every day, three or four rosaries. Huh? And I'm probably busier than you people are. And it's just a matter of prioritizing. And what I do is, I tell the Blessed Mother that every Hail Mary I say will be saving a soul. Why don't you do that? Starting today, every Hail Mary that you say will be instrumental in saving an immortal soul. Finally, after the apparitions of Mary, in a relatively short period of time, both Jacinta and Francisco, they get very sick. And Jacinta is going to be transferred to a hospital in Lisbon, far away from her house, in which she's going to be suffering incredibly. And she willingly accepts the suffering that God sends to her at the end of her life. Willingly accepts that. And basically, Jacinta dies alone. Her mom and dad were not there, or her siblings, they were not there. Jacinta would die alone. What did Jesus say on the cross? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is, my God, why have you forsaken me? A little Jacinta dies. She dies as a little saint. In John Paul II, May 13th, year 2000, he's going to beatify two of the youngest saints in the Catholic Church. And they were Jacinta and Francisco. Lucia is still going to be living. She's going to die when she's close to 100 years old. She's going to die February 13th, year 2005, a couple months before John Paul II. So John Paul II is going to beatify these two young saints. Francisco, he described as a little mystic. And Jacinta, he described as a little victim soul. A little Padre Pio. A little victim soul. So what is the essence of the life of Jacinta Marto? It's encountering the angel, as Mary encountered the angel. It's encountering the Blessed Virgin Mary. in which he shows Jacinta and the other two a graphic vision of hell. And as a result of that, Our Lady and the Blessed Trinity would ask Jacinta, "Do you really love me? Do you really love me?" And Jacinta would say, "Yes, I love you." How are we going to show that you love me? Look up at Jesus on the cross. Jesus on the cross is the most eloquent sign of love, in which Our Lady stood beneath the cross the whole 3 hours. So every little sacrifice that Jacinta did, and I mentioned 10 today, many more though, I mentioned 10. Every sacrifice she did was what? To show that she loved God by loving what God loves. And what does God love? God loves the salvation of souls. So I invite all of you today on this beautiful feast day of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which Mary said yes to God, to spend some time alone with the Blessed Virgin Mary in silence, in which you're going to tell Mary you love her and ask Mary, because you are her daughter, you are her son. Saint Therese, the little flower, said that Mary is queen and she's mother, but she's mother more than she's queen. Ask Mary, your mother, what can you do to show that you love God? To show you love God by offering sacrifices for the salvation of immortal souls. My friends, when all is done, the only thing that really matters in this whole world is for us to get to heaven, and to bring as many souls to heaven as we possibly can. And Our Lady is the quickest, easiest way that we can get to heaven and bring many souls to heaven. So may Mary's yes, her "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be done to me according to thy word," may Mary's yes be your yes, so you can collaborate in the salvation of many, many souls. Amen. So we're going to say the Angelus now, and then we will bless the meal. So we'll say the Angelus, so that by this Angelus we'll save many souls. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. The angel Lord declared unto Mary, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And the Word became flesh. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God. As we pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, your grace into our hearts, that we, through whom the incarnation of Christ, your Son, was made known by the mercy of an angel, may by his passion and cross give out the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord. Glory to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Glory to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Glory to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Blessing of the meal. Bless us, O Lord, and these our gifts, which we are about to receive, and through Christ our Lord. Amen.